So, let's move on to the second presentation. So we have Hannah McClure and Sinead O'Connor from Surrey and from Schumacher College.
Open University,
yes. So, and your presentation is going to be Whose Turn Is It? Exploring the Potential of Visual Surfacism in Participatory Pathways of Sustainable Development. So,
yes, that's surfacism.
Sorry about that.
So, do you have the
clicker?
It's £10.
Presenting at a conference here at Surrey about my PhD research, which looked at Sufism and my initiation into this spiritual path and arts making as a method of analyzing that. And Sinead was so inspired by that that she also went and became an initiate of the Sufi path, but I didn't know this. And then I hosted a conference in October and she came and presented at it as part of her journey and how this had impacted her own work into environmental management. So we have now created this wonderful collaboration, bringing her expertise in environmental management, my expertise in ethnography and social research using the arts, joined with our Sufi experience. And what's happened is that the Sufi experience has been so strong in each of us that it's demanded that we look at the way we do research again. And so today what we'll be looking at is how do we get from an outward, mind-centered approach to solving global crisis to a heart-centered, inwardly motivated responsiveness. And that comes from our understanding of the Sufi path. And so we're going to take you a little bit on this journey today.
Thank you, Hannah. And so let's step back to the bigger picture, history. And yes, we are still standing in the rubble of the wicked global crisis. Right now, the mega global trends, I'm just picking a few that we have in the environment. Globally, are forced displacement from home. 65 million people right now have been forced from their homes. That's according to the United Nations Refugee Agency. We've still got climate chaos. We had the 2015 Paris Agreement, but still the alarm bells are still ringing and the responses are not in sync with the cycles of nature. Systemically in the system, we've got ripple effects of war, violence, and technological disruption where we're in our intimacy with the internet, being taken on journeys away from the truth of actual stories. So these mega global trends, if I step further back into history, come from how we managed the environment. So, as Hannah was saying, we come from history in the industrial, post-industrial era where we thought systematically, and that influenced how we then created this kind of dynamic, that we're all coping and dealing with. So systematic thinking is where the expert drove how we decided how to manage over nature, as opposed to within it or with it. And it's reductive, so you pick out certain dimensions like economic or certain ecological variables or social variables, but you don't necessarily look at the dynamic relationships. So it's reductive, it's linear, because of the simplification, you're kind of creating a very simple cause and effect understandings. But yeah, it's expert-driven, it's hierarchical, and obviously the power relations then flare up because you're not considering the fullness of the reality or the multiple perspectives of what is environmental, and so you're kind of reducing, you're zooming in, and hence not really able to deal with complexity. So yeah, we messed up in history, and as you see, we're now coping and dealing with that. And we are moving now, we're transitioning to this new way of being, from this systematic thinking process to a more systemic approach. Now, systemic it's more holistic. It's actually a process where you step into the unknown, the uncertainty associated with all of this. It's the idea that you understand that nature is unpredictable, that you must work and be with it in your connections, and that it behaves in a non-linear way. And that requires collaboration of a form where you're actually moving outside of this expert way of using a lens to a more multi-dimensional way of framing the environment and capturing its flux. So that systematic approach, which we're now trying to address, we realise we have to step back and reflect, and in terms of how we design our agency and include global citizens, is now we're having to recomposition our state of being in the earth, because it was over earth or away from it. Now it's, we somehow have to get in it, so we have to get inside ourselves. We were outward thinkers, now relearning the tools of going back inside ourselves to then look outside again. So moving from the mind, we're kind of looking at these other parts of being a human being, the body, spirited collaborations, what does spiritual mean in and even a heart-centered approach of being fully human. And that is, so there is a bright future, so I know...
Do you want to go back and show some of those pictures?
I'm going to move on to that flow now. So this is where we're moving away from systematic in the past to systemic in the present. And we have a structure, the scaffolding is the sustainable development pathway, so our visualization, our pathway which we're moving towards in 2030 is a timeline. The idea is globally, as citizens, all of us, experts and non-experts, are working towards achieving these 17 development goals that address all social, ecological, economic aspects of the environment. And in order to achieve them, as we go inwards and work on ourselves to realign our mind, body, spirit composition, we can actually find the right people, partnerships, ways of creating peace and connecting with the planet to generate richness of all kinds, prosperity. So as systemic thinkers, we are moving into the present and working out how can we go inwards, what techniques can we use to reach that vision there. And we've had a radical shift in order to go from this outwards to inwards way of engagement techniques. We've started using participatory visualization techniques. And we've already heard a lot today about those. It's basically about inviting all stakeholders in all different environmental contexts, the old dualities that came from systematic thinking, West and East, developed, underdeveloped, expert, community, organisation, all these different environments. we can all try to start coming together through this visualization participatory diagramming process. So this is where we're now going with how we engage in the environmental management field in order to realign with sustainable development, to move and reframe the wicked problems of what we've created. And so these are some examples that are accessible online to mainstream users of the internet. I'm choosing examples here that anyone who's reading a newspaper or is going online can access. So I'm quite interested in hand-drawn perceptions of the environment in different environments that managed to be made accessible to other viewers in completely different parts of the world. So we have a drawing by a child victim of the Boko Haram attacks, and there they are able to move from this systematic thinking into systemic dialogue by tuning in with their non-rational side of being, not just the rational side, but just to tune in with their emotions, their heart, and find their vocabulary. Likewise, with the forced displacement of losing your home, there are lots of illustrations now and visualizations where stakeholders, the citizen, is able to depict where they are in their journey. And the important thing with these diagramming participatory processes is that participant is able to find themselves in the big picture, in the globe, and then in their own environment. Remember what happened. So here we have the 9/11 perspective drawn 10 years later by a child. A lot of the participatory diagramming engagement processes tend to initially bring up traumatic experiences of I'm a survivor, this is me here in the red, or the conflict in the environment. And that can create many challenges because when you see the wicked problem, it can bring up, well, what next? How do I visualize beyond this? So we see the fears generated in the engagement processes that being able to voice that, but also we see the dreams, the hopes that are generated here. So in terms of sustainable development, we start seeing the gaps of getting to this alignment of the five P's, the hopes and the fears. But there are still gaps with the rich picture process. Although experts and non-experts can come together and have a conversation and express in their different ways beyond the rational head dominant approach. What I've noticed in my work at organisational levels, at community levels, at household levels using this technique in different cultures, is that often stakeholders then don't know, especially I'm noticing a lot of people initially when they use a diagramming technique show the traumatic experience, they don't then have a support system to work out how to embody that beyond the mind, so in a spirited way within their body, the feelings that come with trauma, how to transcend that or move to the next stage towards the sustainable development vision of finding your purpose and your agency and your presence in a dialogue and a narrative. So I suppose
we
that's
10 minutes.
Can we move over to Sufism?
Yeah. So what is Sufism? Sufism is the mystical interior side of religion. Most commonly it's known as part of Islam, but it actually exists in multiple religious structures. So there are Christian Sufis, Zoroastrian Sufis, Gnostic Sufis. And it's the path of inner development of the human being. So its goal is spiritual realization of the human being through attention to the inner self and that dialogue with the divine, whether you call the divine Allah or God or anything else. And so one of the things we're looking at with Sufism in relation to the process of moving inward is that if we're dealing with any sort of conflict situation, what we've got is people going back and forth between different emotions and scenarios, trying to find a solution. They're trying to get here to the neutral point. But actually, what we discover when we go through spiritually cultivating inward practice is that the solution does not exist here. It exists here. It's outside of the entire conversation. And that outside place is actually inside the heart. And so we move from a place of seeking solutions here through a transformational process where we understand that it's only there that the solutions materialize. And so the transformational process of Sufism, if we translate it outside of that particular context and say you're not going to be initiated by a sheikh or you, but you can still bear the fruits of this process and we can use it and we can utilize it across cultures. If I think about the transformational process of Sufism, I see it in stages where first we come in and we explore what is this, where does it come from, what is it about, right? Then we have an experience. And this experience largely has to do with connection. So I first experience a connection with the divine, then with myself, and then perhaps with others. So this experience of connection is what lifts us, begins to lift us from here to here. Right? And then we can start to say things like an experience of the heart. This experience leads to inner healing for the individual. From that place of inner healing, they can actually begin to look at the trauma of the situation that they're in. And I wouldn't say that the first world is escaped from that trauma at all. You know, so we're all living in disparate situations. Some would call this process transformation, where the inner healing happens. So from this place of inner healing, what is key, I think, is that a sense of emplacement occurs. So now I begin to understand who I am because of this connection, who I am in relationship to the cosmos, in relationship to my environment, in relationship to the communities around me. And from that sense of emplacement, this is very key on the spiritual path of Sufism, desire opens. So I'm in a place of agency, and I have in a place of perception, and then a desire opens, and from there, action. So if we're going to attend to any sort of global crisis, not from a mind-oriented, outward-seeking place, but from a heart-centered place of inward mobilization, it's here that we need to get to, right? The connection of the inward and the outward. So Sinead and I, in meeting, she suggested that we use diagrams to facilitate this process, use visual methods, which she's brought from environmental management, which are new to me. And so we'd like to show you a bit of that process. Do we want to do a bit and then the film? And then do it again, or just the film first?
Whatever.
You have like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you have about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so we're going to run a series of workshops in the coming year to trial this, right? So we're just talking about it now. But our idea is that we open this part of it in the workshop, and then we use the visual diagramming to begin to get some notions of what might happen later, where the emplacement might be. And it comes from a different place. If it's only the tiniest touch of the heart, that's something. And so I'd like to try that with you a little bit today. So Sinead, if you could dim the lights. Take a moment, put both feet on the ground. hands. Feel your sitting bone, move your pelvis into your seat. And just attune to your breath. So we're opening to a place of receptivity. And from this place, I'm going to show you about 2 minutes of whirling, which is a Sufi practice, and you can begin to imagine what that's like to be inside and involved in such a practice.
The earth lifts its glass to the sun, and light is poured. Poetry is the language of the soul. So in terms of expressing the images and feelings and sensations that arise in the heart, poetry is especially suited to this. It just has all of the metaphors that I experience when I'm whirling. My name is Han. I've been whirling for about 7 years now. Whirling is a practice of spinning around one center. I've lived in the UK for 8 years now. I grew up in California in a Christian home. I went to church every Sunday. When I was about 14, I started to research other religions. I think I was wanting to understand my own upbringing and the way religion had been presented to me. And I just wanted a wider perspective. For a while now, we have been called Sufis, those who wear wool, those whose hearts have been purified. One of the things I really appreciate about Sufism is its capacity to hold multiple religious beliefs within it. So one can be a Christian Sufi, or a Muslim Sufi, or a Hindu Sufi, because the root is opening the heart to God. And God is God, whatever name you put on it. I am Nev Levy.
So that film goes on. Could present completely about that, but now that you've had a chance to go into the imagination of that, then we want to just do a couple minutes of diagramming with you, Nate.
Just simply, where are we at this moment, each of us, in the environment? So I invite you to find some clear sheet of paper of some kind. It can be a small piece or a big sheet, whatever you feel. And it's not about thinking about this, it's about just drawing with your hand whatever comes out when I ask you this. So to draw yourself in your environment, and what I invite you to draw around yourself is right now what is supporting you in the environment. Just whatever comes through, don't question it, just let it out. So it's kind of like a brainstorm, but it's coming from your gut feelings or your intuition as well as your.
What is the question?
Yeah, so
what is supporting
you in your environment?
So environment, you're talking about the green thing or my environment?
It's your perspective of the environment, your environment. Your environment. So I'll give you examples. It could be animals, or it could be an economic system. Mm-hmm. It could be all different things, but it's your environment and your experience.
Okay.
Your connections.
Thank you.
So if we just have, it's kind of like a brainstorm, so it's quick learning. So 60 seconds to 2 minutes maximum. You just go, you draw yourself first. Put yourself in the picture.
So my relationship of environment, or
what is supporting you right now?
What is supporting?
And so it's what is you, are you connected with? And so you can draw that in whatever way it comes out. you can show it in whatever way. There's no right or wrong. It's just to represent it. Okay, so because of the time, this can continue in your own time and space. But it's quite interesting to look at this. First of all, where you put yourself in the page. Like if you do this in more detail with a group or people that you know quite well, some people put themselves right in the center, some people put themselves in the corner, and some people do big figures, other people just do a face, and even the emotion on the face. But then what also is interesting is how connected you are with the environment, how rich is your picture. So what I mean by that is, do you have connections with animals, plants on a nature level, or particular landscapes? To what extent are you connected at a household, community, organisational level? Sometimes I work with professionals and it's all corporate, but they suddenly realise when they look at it that they don't have any community activities in their life. They haven't had time to be in there looking at the environment immediately in their household or time for their family. And likewise, some people realise they're really activity-based, so a lot of the narrative is about what they're doing. So you'll see lots of processes, social processes. Other people, it will be more contemplative, and actually maybe all the invisible stuff, their spiritual practice, for example, they'll start seeing who's helping them on that level. So you start, and then when you start sharing your sense of connection with others, you get inspiration about other ways to support yourself to move into richer levels of purpose and agency and collaborative opportunities that can then align you with the five P's of the sustainable development pathway.
So from this place, if you can just go back to that inner place of the whirling, and we want to add to this diagram, how do you experience your heart? So just 60 seconds, whatever image you can put down. Of us were at least able to put something. It opens us to see like what a jump we have to move from socially if we're going to get to that place of inward mobilization. So just asking this question, just opening the experience and bringing this in as part of the picture, I feel is a massive leap forward to help us dissolve the boundaries, especially as designers of methodologies and techniques, so that we can move beyond like our expertise and arrogance and have a bi-directional dialogue. And when we have that bi-directional dialogue where we're coming from our heart and we've put that into the design, then, as you said with your presentation, whole new areas of knowledge and potential and possibility open that just weren't there before. And then we're in touch with the true creative potential, which is that art essence of life. And from there, solutions just come to be, as opposed to looking, finding, doing, you know. Oh yeah, well, why don't we just do it this way? Okay, let's do it this way. So it's introducing that softer side, that mystical. So you can see how that mystical, we could say religion, but it's that mystical element. It can just come right into our lives again in this really soft sort of way.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.